All right, open your Bibles tonight to the book of Isaiah in chapter 5. You know, you may think that this revival is not for you. I know it's easy to think, as I was saying last night, that someone else needs it. My brother, my sister. It's easy to think that, you know, as long as we're not really in any serious, grave sin, then we're doing okay. But I've learned in my experience, it's a whole lot easier to straighten out your life when you're just a little bit off than when you're way off course. Right. Once the boat gets off course by a lot of degrees, a lot of work to get it back where it's supposed to be. Right. If you'll correct that thing all the time, a whole lot easier, and you'll find you'll get to where you're going to want to get a lot faster too. Before I read this scripture tonight, I'd just like to ask a simple question. You ever found yourself in a situation where you've been over backward for somebody and did some really great things to help somebody out and it seemed like after you did it, it wasn't enough for them. They expected more. They wanted more. They asked for more. How do you feel about that? How does that make you feel? Like helping them next time? A lot of people out there that have this problem. I talk to beggars downtown sometimes in Warsaw. And they come up and they want something to eat, you know, or something. So, hey, once in a while, I'll get convicted and I'll walk them down to the corner store and, you know, buy them a sandwich and a Coke or something. And sometimes once they get it, they say, well, hey, you got any money for me? I think, you ungrateful turkey, you know? I just gave you a meal. And then instead of saying thank you for the sandwich, you say, hey, how about something else? And it just kind of irritates me. There are kids that way too. I don't mean just little kids. I mean big kids. I mean grown kids. 25 years old, still living at home, living off mom and dad, and never seem like they can get enough from mom and dad. Mom and dad never can do enough. Mom and dad sometimes wonder, when in the world are you going to get enough help from me to live on your own, do your own thing, and be able to take care of yourself? And it's nothing to do with the lack of love that mom and dad have for the kids. It's that kids need to learn to grow up and take care of themselves. Amen. But so many times, people act like it's never enough. I need more. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 1. Now will I sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard and a very fruitful hill. And he fenced it, and gathered out the stones thereof, and planted it with the choicest vine, and built a tower in the midst of it, and also made a winepress therein. And he looked, that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my vineyard. What could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes. It's a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, for all the things that you've given, all the gifts that we receive of you every day. Thank you for the gift of salvation. Thank you for delivering us from hell, from sin. Father, you bless your word tonight. Give me the words to preach. Give me the right spirit. I pray that your Holy Spirit would work in hearts tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. This text, obviously speaking of Israel, but I think that as we read the Old Testament, we can find that many of these things can be applied to us today, to the church today. If you look in 1 Corinthians in chapter 10, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, but with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. So as you read through the Old Testament, Those things were written for your admonition, for my admonition, that we might not fall in the same traps, commit the same mistakes that the children of Israel committed. We might learn from their mistakes instead of repeat them ourselves. And so God says to Israel, what could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done? You know, we are really a blessed people. Man, we have got so much. We enjoy so much freedom. We have freedom to preach. Even in Poland, we have freedom to preach on the streets. Policemen walk by us every day and never say a word to us. It's a great freedom we have. We have comforts. Comforts that make traveling so easy. I got here in 12 hours from Poland. Man, we have possibilities of doing things that a few years ago were not even considered. We are a blessed people. We have abundance. Man, we have abundance. America especially, the land of plenty. Brother Jeff took us out to eat today and my son thought he was really hungry. We went to this place and he ordered something called the Big Daddy. You ever seen a Big Daddy? Good grief. Supposed to be, you know, a rack of ribs, but I think it was the whole cow. He didn't eat half of that thing. We have abundance. So much food, so much of everything. And yet, how many times we find ourselves complaining and thinking like, well, if we just had a little bit more. Well, if we just, God would just do a little bit more for us. If we just had a little bit more of this. Reminds me of a man named J. Paul Getty. Somebody asked him one time, he was a very rich man, of course. You may know this man. I mean, he's a very wealthy, wealthy, rich man. They said, how much money is enough? And he said, just a little bit more. The man had millions, maybe billions of dollars. And they asked him, how much is enough? And he said, just a little bit more. I ask you tonight, how much is enough? How much does God have to bless you for you to be content and happy and willing to serve Him for the rest of your life? Does He have to keep on doing more and more? Hasn't God done more than enough? Amen. Hasn't God blessed us more than we deserve? Right. Oh man, He has. If you are saved tonight, He has already given you more than you deserve. That's it. If you have nothing else at all, if you lived in a tent like Abraham, if you had to walk everywhere or ride a camel, you're saved. That's all that you need to enjoy God's blessings and to be happy and rejoicing. And yet we have much more than that. But you're saved. You have everlasting life. You're going to spend eternity with God. You're not going to go to hell. You're going to be with God forever and ever. And with the saints of God, the people of God. You know, I have fun with the people of God. I really do. I have a blast. I enjoy being with people, with Christians, with the saints of God. But you know, it doesn't compare. Because one day I'm going to be with the people of God, but with no sin. Amen. And no pride. And no covetousness, no anger, no malice, no spite. It's going to get better. And we're going to be with Him forever and ever and ever. Amen. God has blessed us. You are saved tonight. You ought to be happy about that. Amen. And God says, what more would I have to do? What more can I do that I haven't done already? He saved your soul without any merits of your own.
That's right.
And He saved you by giving you His only son. You have a son tonight? Would you give him up? A bunch of sorry rascals like yourself. And yet He gave His own son for you and for me. And yet we act sometimes like, God, how about some more? You didn't do quite enough yet. I need some more. I need some more blessing. I need some more proof. I need some more help to get me going because I'm just not sure that I have enough yet. God said, I gave you my son. I gave you everlasting life. What more could have been done? He gave you His word. The word of God. You know how many people have died so you could have the word of God? How many people have died trying to get it? You know how precious this book has been to people throughout the centuries? I'm afraid that it's not so precious anymore. I mean, I know in my home, I can probably find 20 Bibles. When before, people would give everything for just a piece of paper, one sheet of the scriptures. Something. Such an abundance. The Word of God. The Word of God shows you how to please God, how to raise your kids, how to have a happy marriage, how to have a happy home. It shows you how to treat your fellow brother. The Word of God, which is a light and a lamp. And yet, what do? Are we really, really appreciative of what God has given us? The Word of God. How many don't even have the Word of God? How many people don't even have it? He gave you His Spirit. The Spirit of God dwelling in you. You think about that? God dwelling in you, leading you, comforting you, directing you, chastising you. The Spirit of God dwelling in you in mortal flesh. What a blessing. How about the church? You know how many people would love to have a church like this? I'm serious. There are people out there that don't have much of a choice. And they have to go wherever, whatever they can find. And they're slim pickings in some places. Come to Poland, I'll show you. Slim pickings. You have got a blessing. You've got a church that loves God, a church that loves the Word of God, that stands on the Word of God. How much does God need to give you for you to say, oh God, thank you. I don't need any more proof of your love. I've got enough. And yet, we can get so cold and so backslidden and so caught up in things of this world because we forget how much God has given. You know how many people love to have pastors like the pastors you have in this church? Pastors who care. Pastors who are willing to even give you the opportunity to stand up and preach in this church. Go on this city and see how many churches will let you stand up in their church and preach the Word of God. Give it a shot. You'll be back here in about a week. You got a blessing. Do you thank God for that blessing? How much more does God have to give you? The Lord says, what more? What could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked at it, should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes. It seems to me here that God is expecting something. God says, look, I did all this and I expected some fruit. I did all this and I expected some kind of return. I did all this and I expected to see some grapes. And all I saw was wild grapes. You read in the Old Testament, we read about the children of Israel, and what do we see? We see God giving and giving and giving, doing and doing and blessing. And even when they went away from God, He would continue to bless them and He would endure their rebellion. And time after time, He would give them more and more and more. And yet, what do we find? They would forget God. They would forget His wondrous works. They would forget what He had done and go back to the ways of the heathen, complaining or murmuring. How many victories do you need to see to realize that it is worth living for God? How many souls do you have to see saved from hell? How many times do you need to see a sinner saved and placed in a church growing in the Word of God to say, you know what, it's worth it to serve God? How many times do you need to see an entire family rescued from destruction? How many times do you need to see God do amazing things in people's lives and say, you know what, all in all, it's worth it? Maybe you don't realize what God has done. Maybe you need to just look around or just talk to some people in this church and say, tell me your testimony. I'd like to hear how you got saved. You know what? It'll bless your soul. If you just listen to how God turned some of us around, you'll think, wow, God has done amazing things. I was telling you the other day that I was in Mexico and visiting the churches. What a blessing. Oh, yeah, there are problems. It's like there are problems in this church. But God has done some amazing things. Entire families. When a few years ago, one person was saved and being kicked out of the house and being criticized and mocked and ridiculed and lied about. And you go back now, and not only his family is saved, but some of them are preaching the gospel. You think, wow. How many times do you have to see something like that to say, you know what? It's worth it to serve God. It's worth it to get involved in doing something for God. It's worth it to be involved in getting the gospel out to this world, to this city, to this community. What could have been done more? What has God failed to do? I mean, hasn't He done so much already? How many tragedies How many tragedies do you have to witness to realize that it's not worth it to live for this world? You know, God does different things. God gives victory. You know what? God also has to do some purging. He has to do some punishing and chastising. And sometimes God does that. How many times do you need to see God chastise someone for living for the world, for getting backslidden, for doing their own will instead of God's will, and say, you know what? It does not pay to live for this world. How many tragedies, how many families do you need to see destroyed and wrecked by sin or by rebellion or by worldliness or by covetousness to say, you know what? It's not worth it. But you know what the problem is? Somehow we think that it's not going to happen to us. It won't happen to my family, we say. It won't happen to me. I know how to watch it. I can be careful. It won't happen to me. Let me tell you, my friend, everyone after that fell thought the same thing. But there's a principle you better learn, remember. It says in the book of Galatians, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. It's a principle. What you sow, you reap. How many times do you need to see people sowing to the flesh and reaping corruption to say, you know what? That principle is true. I am going to stay away from that. Oh, but so many times we don't learn from the tragedies of others. How many young girls do you young ladies need to see go out and get themselves pregnant because some stupid boy or some smart boy maybe deceived them, thinking, made them think that they really, really loved them and to take care of them and cared for them to say, you know what? I don't trust this guy. How many tragedies do you have to witness? Hasn't God showed you enough already to say, you know what? I'm going to do God's way. I'm going to live by God's standard, do God's will, and I'm going to abide by the Word of God. And yet, tragedy after tragedy. How many times do you have to see people fall into temptation, giving in to temptation? How many times do you need to see people playing with the world, flirting with the world, getting too close to the edge, and then falling to say, you know what? I am not going to walk close to the edge. I'm going to walk close to the other edge. I'm going to do the opposite. I'm going to go way over there. I don't trust myself to walk this close to the edge. I'm going to do what's right. I'm going to stay away from these things. I'm going to flee temptation. I'm going to flee fornication. I'm going to do what's right because I've seen too many tragedies. How many more do you need to see to be convinced that it's true? How many times do you need to see believers marrying unbelievers to say, you know what? That don't work. You young people, don't tell me that you have never witnessed an unbeliever marrying a believer that didn't have problems. Don't tell me, oh, there's no problem at all. You know better than that. You've seen them. Maybe even in this same, very same church, you've seen people make wrong decisions, pick the wrong mate because they supposedly loved this mate, but they knew they were unsaved, but they had visions and hope that they could somehow convert this person. And what happens? Tragedy. And you say, well, so-and-so did it, and look what happened. Oh, yeah, God has mercy sometimes. He does. He has great mercy. But you better not tempt God. And you better not tempt God. You young people, the Bible says, be ye not unequally yoked with unbelievers. Amen. And believe me, marriage is a yoke. According to God. He says, for life, till death do you part. He says, be ye not unequally yoked. How many times do you need to see this unequal yoke end in tragedy to say, I am not going to do it that way. I'm going to wait for God to give me someone who's a believer. What could have been done more to my vineyard? How often does God have to bless you to remind you of His goodness? Does He have to bless you every single day to keep you going? I mean, do you need a fix every day to say God is really good? Isn't God good all the time? Oh, yeah, but you don't really believe that. I know you don't because I find myself not believing it sometimes. On any given day, you can doubt God's goodness because for some reason you don't think He blessed you. And you need to be reminded. We're such forgetful people. But God says, what could have been done more? I don't think we have any excuse. I think God has done more than his share. I think God has blessed us more than than we deserve. I think God has given more than we deserve. And we shouldn't act like spoiled children or like beggars in the streets saying, how about something else? If you don't give me something else, then I'm not interested. If you really love me, you give me some more. How often do you have to experience God's forgiveness, overcome temptation? God is such a forgiving God. We have salvation, eternal salvation. What a blessing. He says, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. They shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. That is eternal salvation. That means you cannot lose salvation. You cannot lose it. God has given an eternal gift, and you cannot lose salvation.
Amen.
But how many times does God have to give you forgiveness of your daily sins for you to overcome temptation? You know, there's a verse in the book of Isaiah where God says about Israel, thou hast wearied me with thy iniquities. I'm not sure how all that works out with believers and eternal security, you know, but it makes me wonder. It makes me wonder if we can weary God with our sin. If God can just say, oh, come on, get with it. I mean, get over it. How many times do you have to stumble and fall in this same besetting sin? How many times do I have to pick you up and get you going? Can't you get over this? What more? What more could have been done? I mean, I did this, I did that, I did this, I did that, and where's the fruit? We get ourselves in so many messes. We cause some of our problems today, we have caused ourselves. Man, we get ourselves in so much trouble, especially you young people. You're just young and you make mistakes because you make wrong decisions, and whether you bounce a check or you do this or that, you know, it's just a learning process, and it's a tough time when you're a teenager and trying to, you know, how many times? What more is God have to do? He bails you out, and you just think it's because you're smart that you're not in any bigger mess. You think that you're in the place you are now because you're so smart. You think that you are so wise and you just got it all figured out. Hey, it's God's mercy. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. It's true. I was a teenager once, I know. And I thought I was smart. I thought, yeah, it's because I'm so smart and I'm so cool and I got it all figured out. It's just God's mercy. By the grace of God, I am what I am. But how many times does God have to bail you out of these messes and problems for you to realize that it's God's mercy and that one day you just might get caught and you're not going to get bailed out by God one day? What more could have been done? How many times does God have to bail us out for us to realize and stop making these mistakes? Or you think it's because you eat and exercise. That's why you're so, everything's all figured out, or you're so healthy or whatever. It's God's mercy. It's God's mercy. How much more does God have to do for you to get you to stop complaining and pray and start praising? Does God have to do something every day for you to get you to stop complaining and start praising? What more could have been done? How many more years do you have to be babied instead of starting to doing something for God? You know, some of you are young believers and you're just growing in the Lord. But you know, there comes a time when believers need to grow up. And instead of just drinking milk, eat some meat. Instead of just being babied, being pampered, actually grow up and be responsible. And you know, even go out and do something for the Lord. Take somebody else who's young in the Lord and help them grow. Instead of expecting always to be fed, always to be taught, always to be pampered. What more could have been done? There comes a time when there ought to be some fruit and some growth and some things done. What an opportunity we have. It says in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12, for when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. There comes a time when we ought to be teaching people. And we don't need to be pampered and babied all the time. We can be actually out there pampering somebody else, babying somebody else who just got saved, who needs some encouragement. A couple more verses I'd like to read to you. Nehemiah chapter 9, Nehemiah chapter 9. In this passage, the wall has just been built, rebuilt, and the people are gathered together hearing the word of the Lord. And some of the men are confessing the sins of the people of Israel. As they, in chapter 9, verse 21, it says, "Yea, 40 years didst thou sustain them in the wilderness, so that they lacked nothing. Their clothes waxed not old, and their feet swelled not." 40 years, they lacked nothing. These men are confessing the sins of the people. And what they're simply saying is, we have no excuse. No excuse. God took care of us. He provided for us. He delivered us. I mean, our clothes didn't even get old in 40 years. Our feet didn't even swell. We lacked nothing. And yet what happened? We still rebelled. We still got backslidden. We still got out of God's will. And that's the testimony that we have ourselves today. We lack nothing. God has given us all that we need. Look in 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. 2 Peter 1, 3. "According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue." His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. You don't need a second blessing. You don't need to speak in tongues to have victory. You don't need all this extra stuff to somehow get over the hump and make it. God has given you everything in Christ. Amen. He's given you His Holy Spirit indwelling in you, His own Word. Everything that we need to have victory is already given to us. Everything. And that simply means that when we don't have victory, we can't blame God. Because God said, what more? What more could have been done that I haven't done? What more do you require? What more do you demand of God? What demands are you making of God tonight that He show you or that He give you to help you have victory or to make that right decision? Everything's available. It's all there. It's right here in His Word. You have His Word and you have His Spirit indwelling in you. What more could have been done that I haven't already done? I think the answer is quite simple. Nothing. Nothing. So if you're looking for God to do something else for you to help you make that decision, you're making a mistake. If you're expecting some miracle or some proof or some great act that God could do, some sign from heaven to show you to make the right decision, you're not getting it right yet. You're missing the mark. God says, look, I've already done it all. I've given you everything that pertains to life and godliness. All you gotta do is just make the decision based upon God's word, based upon what God's already said. All things that pertain to life and godliness are given. 40 years, they lack nothing. People of Israel had everything. We have everything in God's word. Amen. A word of prayer. God, thank you for all your gifts. Thank you for your mercy. Giving us more than we deserve. Forgive us, Lord, for being so caught up. Forgive us for expecting and demanding more. Help us, Lord, to believe what you've already given. In Jesus' name.